my gift for you is I'm going to get you out early today. Uncle Rick said, hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. No, we probably will get out a little bit early. It's not a very long message, but it's something that's dear to my heart. And I thought, you know, I titled the message The Christmas Spirit, and I thought about, you know, maybe trying to give you a couple keys to help you keep the Christmas spirit so that you don't get tension in your home through Christmas. So I have the top five fight starters at Christmas that I want to share with everybody, okay? So these are the top five things that I have found through the years that can be a fight starter in your home, and you may want to avoid these if you can. Number five would be this. Honey, I got you a new vacuum cleaner for Christmas. Not the best idea. Number four, if this is a part of your conversation. Now, some of these came from my life. Not all of them, but some of them are life experiences that I've had. So I just want to help protect you going forth here to keep a Christmas spirit. But if this is a part of your conversation on Christmas Day, it's probably not going to go well for you. If you look at your wife and say, you're just like your mother, probably not going to go real well. That's probably a fight starter in the home. And if she responds back, well, you're just like your father. Yeah, not good. That one came from me. And I just, but we don't say that anymore because we are in a better place. Amen. Number three. This can be a fight starter, so I just want to give everybody a little caution. But board games. Probably not good to play Monopoly and other games at Christmas time. Now, this is from life experience because we all around our Christmas table, you know, open presents, and we said, let's play Rubik's Cube, which is a little dice, little game where you have these little numbers, and it's like kind of rummy almost, you know. So we're playing Rubik's Cube, and I got my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, Destiny, Jordan, myself, and we're all sitting around the table playing Rubik's Cube. Well, I decide that I'm going to play with strategy to win, so I'm holding all of my chips, and I'm going to wait till the last minute to put them down. But that did not go real well when George found out that I had all of the happy faces. So as I begin to lay the happy faces down, he got mad, threw all the chips off the table. You ain't supposed to play that way. You're supposed to lay them down when you get them. So I just caution everybody on board games at Christmas. That can be a real issue. Amen. Number two, a question that you really shouldn't ask around Christmas time is, are you still single? Where are my single people at? Not a good question, right? That could be a real fight starter. And then the number one, and this one is not for me, but if your answer is yes, you look fat in that sweater, that's probably not a good response. That could be a real fight starter. Amen. Many people today are talking about Christmas spirit. You know, when you go in the stores and just in life, you'll hear people talking about having the Christmas spirit. But I wonder what spirit they're talking about. Ebenezer Scrooge at Christmas time, that spirit was a ghost. That was a ghost. To the liquor industry, having the right spirit is, it comes in a bottle. I did some research and found out that somewhere around $100 billion was spent on liquor this year. $100 billion. And at Christmas time, the statistics say that people double the amount of alcohol that they consume at Christmas time. And I suppose for some people, Christmas is expressed in a Christmas card. They say that this year over 5 billion Christmas cards will be given out. And for some people, the Christmas spirit is to mail out a Christmas card to show your love or your appreciation to somebody. For some, however, the Christmas spirit is deep sadness. It's like extreme despair. Because somehow at Christmas time, it seems like all the cares of life and the issues through life are magnified at Christmas. And for some people, the Christmas spirit is a spirit of depression that comes over people's lives. I guess for some people, it's giving of presents. If you go to the stores or the mall and you go around there, you see this is the Christmas spirit. Everybody's trying to buy a present or give a present to somebody. And some of you probably need to repent for your attitude in the stores this week. Anybody lose it at one of the stores this week? I remember a couple years ago. No, I did not lose it. I was just not happy. I remember a couple years ago, Miss Gail was at Walmart and lost it and literally let out a scream in Walmart to all the people there to calm down. Like, you guys calm down! I was like, oh, whatever. She repented in church. She said, I'm sorry for the way I acted at Walmart. One little boy suggested that the Christmas spirit is trying to stay happy because that's what you need to do when you don't get what you want for Christmas. I want to focus on the real spirit of Christmas, and it's the spirit of God coming to the earth. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and let's together read the Christmas story, if you will. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. The census took place while Cornelius was the governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Christmas is about joy coming to the earth. It's the Spirit of God in flesh. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23, the angel said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. If the Spirit of God is in full control of your lives, you will carry the true Christmas spirit. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, it says, you show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. We need the spirit of joy to fill our lives now more than ever. We need to live with an unoffendable heart. We have to carry the joy of the Lord deep within us, because we live in a time when entire generations are living offended. I mean, people are so deeply offended and hurt, living wounded over politicalness and over the cares of this life and their past, and they're carrying all that deep-rooted anger and bitterness, and at a moment people snap so quickly and anger just comes out of their life and rage, because they're living in a place where the joy of the Lord is not their strength. Remember that the only thing that ever gets offended is your flesh. Your spirit never gets offended. When you operate out of the flesh, it will cause you to live in an offended place. It's easy to get happiness and joy confused. It's so easy in the world we live in to confuse happiness and joy. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Happiness, it comes from what's going on around you, what's on the outside. If it's a sunny day and everything's going good, if I got good vibes at work and good feelings at work, and then I'm living with happiness. If there's no drama in my family, if there's no drama in my life, then my life is consumed with happiness. But joy comes from what is going on the inside of a person. Joy comes from what is deep-rooted inside of your life. The Apostle Paul wrote about joy in the New Testament more than any other writer. When we read in Philippians 16 times in 4 chapters, Paul writes about joy and rejoicing. The Apostle Paul, when we read about Paul's life, we find his circumstance externally were not the best circumstances. You begin to look at his life and read about Paul's life and everything that he'd been through. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, Paul's writing and he says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Think about it. 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. It was called a scourging. In the Roman days, it was 39 lashes. Because 39 lashes was the legal limit, because they felt 40 lashes would kill a man. We know in the life of Christ, at the end of his life, when they sentenced him to die, they took him to a whipping post, and there with a cat of nine tails, they began to whip Jesus. And they whipped him 39 times, stripped the skin from his flesh. And the Apostle Paul says in his writings, 5 times he was beaten. 39 minus 1. He goes on to write, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, day and a night, and I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. This is the Apostle Paul who's now writing about joy, who writes about joy more than any others. And you and I go through a few hard times in our lives, and we go through a few seasons where it seems like we can't hear God. And all of a sudden now we've got no joy. We've got no happiness. We're surrounded by our circumstance, and we're living beneath the circumstances. And Paul is teaching us to say, listen, you got to come out of that mindset. You got to realize that this is not just for a Christmas season. This is the way the body of Christ is to live every day of their lives, with a Christmas spirit that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not my circumstances. It's not my physical body. It's not what goes in and out of my life. It's the joy of the Lord. It's what God is doing internally, deep inside of my soul. In weariness and in toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Yes, Paul, in the middle of all those circumstances, says, it's joy. I've got joy. I've got joy down deep in my heart. In Philippians 1 and 2, he says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then my favorite verse, my life verse, being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun the good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my strength. This is my joy. This is where I find my peace. This is where I find my rest. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in an encounter that I had at his feet. It's waking up every day and pursuing a new encounter with God. Paul wrote this passage chained between two prison guards, locked in a Roman jail. And Paul is able to write, and he's able to speak to people all around. Many people believe that it is already a year, maybe 2 years, that he's been locked up on false charges, waiting on his execution. And Paul writes, I'm praying for you with all joy. If that's me, I'm probably writing the church, and I'm probably saying, hey, Bill, can you get a little team together? Can we get a prayer chain together? Could you guys pray for me that I can get out of this place? If it's me, I'm probably more concerned about me, and I'm trying to get everybody to pray for me. But the Apostle Paul is teaching us. He's giving us an example that your circumstances and your situation cannot control your eternal destiny. Your destiny is locked up in an eternal Savior that gave his life on a cross, who was born in a manger and died on a cross. There's where our joy comes from. That's the peace of God. Paul said, I am confident that he that has begun the work, the good work, in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, it don't look good, but it's not over. I may not have got my breakthrough yet, but it's not over. There's some time left in this year, and I'm believing to step into a breakthrough, step into a miracle, and receive a year of miracles in my life. He could write this because of his relationship with the Holy Spirit. Paul had an encounter. Paul was on his beast, and he was traveling to Damascus, and on the road to Damascus, a bright light shone around him. He was knocked off of his donkey, and blindness overtake him, and he lay there and had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I'm preaching to everybody. You've got to have encounters with Jesus. You need to encounter the Holy Spirit. This is not about you coming to church and hearing songs and experiencing fellowship and relationship. Those are all amazing. But the true heart of a Christian is, I need an encounter with God. I've got to encounter his love like never before, because I can't let the circumstances around me control my destiny. Paul had an amazing encounter. He understood real joy. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Even though circumstances don't look good, even though I haven't gotten my miracle yet, even though it doesn't look good around me, I will rejoice because I know I'm being renewed day by day. He says, for our light affliction, but which is for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Why do we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is where joy comes from. This is the true spirit of Christmas. This is the spirit of Christ coming to the earth. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's not out there somewhere. He's in here. He's in our lives. He is a part of our day-to-day function. He's a part of what we wake up to every day. The key to joy is fixing your eyes on Jesus. You got to get your eyes on Jesus. You got to see him everywhere. Joy is based on encounters with Jesus. Isaiah has an amazing encounter with Jesus. In Isaiah 6:1, he says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Fix your eyes on Jesus. How do you see him this morning? How do you see him today? How will you see him this week when you begin to open presence, when there's all the chaos and everybody's all around? How do you see him? Can you still find that place of peace in your heart? Can you still find the joy of Christmas in your life? If you want joy, you have to learn to be grateful. You have to learn to be grateful. I love what Uncle Rick says. He says he heard it when he was a little boy. You have to think to be thoughtful. You have to think to be thoughtful. It doesn't just happen. You're not just grateful. You have to look around you sometimes, and you got to see with spirit eyes. You got to open your eyes and wonder. You got to have wonder eyes, and you got to just be so amazed at all that God's doing. I look around this room today, and I'm just amazed at what God's doing. It's just a few months ago. It was just not too long ago when we were in the hospital holding your hand and praying with you. It was not too long ago when all of us in this room have walked through things in our lives, and it just seemed like, how are we going to get through this? How will we make it through another day? How is all this going to work out for good? Your word says all things work together for good, God. How is this all going to work together for good? I'm here to tell you, if I put my eyes on Jesus, it doesn't matter what the circumstance, it doesn't matter what the things are going on around me, his joy is my strength. Jesus is joy. Listen, when you're in Jesus, you don't have good days and bad days. You have good days and bad days when you're in and out of Jesus. When you're in Jesus, it's good days. I call Bill almost every day. Bill and I talk almost every day. Bill, how you doing? This is the greatest day ever. That's Bill's response. This is the greatest day ever. How can he say that? How can he say that? I'll tell you how he can say that. He has encounters with Jesus. How can I live with a smile on my face when everything going on around me is like, how are you going to do all this? How are you going to get all this done? How do you minister so many people now? How are you handling the growth of the church? I'll tell you how I handle it. Every day I wake up and go, you know what's important? That I have an encounter with Jesus. Every day is important that I know him and he knows me. Every day that I walk with him and I hold his hand and he walks with me in the still of the day and he still tells me I'm his favorite. Oh, Pastor, I'm his favorite. No, I'm his favorite. You ought to live with that in your spirit, that you are God's favorite, that for this reason God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I got the joy of the Lord down deep in my soul, and I declare over you, I want you to have the true Christmas spirit. I want you to reflect his goodness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4:12. Paul says, I know how to be abased, or I know how to be humbled, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You look at the book of Philippians and you begin to check it out and read it, you're going to find out that Paul's writing about joy. In Philippians chapter 1, he talks about joy in all circumstances, even suffering. In Philippians chapter 2, he talks about joy in serving, sacrificing your time, being available for the gathering, being available to serve in church, being available to reach others and to minister to others. In Philippians chapter 3, he talks about joy in faith. There's joy in faith. There's joy in knowing that your sins are forgiven. There's joy in knowing that you have peace with God. In Philippians chapter 4, he talks about joy in giving. Nehemiah 8:10 says, don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't sorrow. Don't let the cares of life cause depression to creep in on you. Don't allow others' response to you control your destiny. You walk with the Lord and you know that you are loved by the Father and that he gave his son for you. The joy of the Lord cannot be dependent upon your happiness. Joy comes from how close you walk with him. Joy comes from encounters with him. In John 15 and verse 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. Stay in it. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, chapter 11, these things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. In some translations, it says that your joy may be complete. Complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. I love my wife. My marriage is better than it's ever been. After 33 years of marriage, we're experiencing the love of the Father in our home more than ever. But I'm going to tell you something. Bobby's not the source of my joy. When she's having a bad day, I'm not letting it ruin mine. And when I'm having a bad day, she's not going to let my bad day ruin her good day. There are no highs and lows in Jesus. If you walk with Jesus, it's highs all the time. It's joy all the time. Am I telling you I'll never get upset? No. I'm telling you when I get upset, I got to go deep in my soul. I got to get deep in my spirit and say, I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and that is not who I am. I refuse to let the cares of this life overtake me and overwhelm me. And I'm telling you, you got to get there. Pastor, there's so much. We're so busy. There's so much going on. I get it. I understand it. I know. I know life is hard. Life is hard, but the joy of the Lord is easy. Finding that peace with God. When the angels visited the shepherds in the field, that was an amazing encounter. Huh? That was an amazing encounter. They're out there in the middle of a field. Listen, they weren't out there having a sleepover. They weren't doing a campfire singing Kumbaya. They were out there working. They were shepherds taking care of their sheep, looking for signs of the enemy, watching over their sheep, and an angel of the Lord visits them. Huh? They could have went home and told their wives, oh my goodness, we thought we heard a sound, we thought it was a wolf, we thought it was something coming to get our sheep, we thought it was a bear, we got our staffs, but no, it was an angel. And an angel came to us in the field. How precious was it that an angel came? But that wasn't the thing that was their encounter. In Luke 2 and verse 11, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They knew that wasn't it. If I could get all of us to realize, listen, I love our church. Church service is amazing. We never know what to expect. We never know what God's going to do in this place. I mean, we write out, script out, but we're so open to what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And every day I think God's going to do something cool today. It's going to be so different. It's going to be different than ever. And I come expecting, and church is always great. I love it. Worship is great. I love our worship team. I love Gail's worship. I love when you just, there are times when everything's heavy around her, and you can see it on her face. She's stressed. But you can tell also when she gets in that zone, when the joy of the Lord comes over her and she's leading from that place in her spirit. And I love that. I love fellowship. I love meeting new people and building relationships. I mean, Jim and Westerfield and Debbie and I met years and years ago. We were in their home, had dinner. We had this amazing time. And years go by. We don't ever see them again. And then all of a sudden, they just show up in our lives. And now they become family in our lives. I love that. I mean, I could just go around the room. When you showed up at my wife's garage sale and you wanted to buy some golf balls and you came and said, hey, I'll give you $5 for them golf balls. I said, no, I want $10 for them golf balls. And you're like, come on, I need the golf balls. I'm going to give you $5. I don't know, you ain't Jewing me down. I want $10 for the golf balls. And he walked away and didn't buy the golf balls. And he had to think, well, that guy was such a jerk. And I thought, man, he's such a cheapskate, man. Why didn't he give me $10 for him? He could have gave me $10 for him. And then, but yeah, Bobby ended up giving him a bag to take home with him. But you think about it. Now we're best friends. I mean, now it's like you're family to us. I mean, I just think about it, Ken Chick, years ago when you were pastoring the church and Fisherman's Church, and we met just casually and we became friends. Who would have known that years later you'd be sitting in our congregation and now we have a friendship that goes way beyond a pastor and a congregate? It's like we're family, you know what I'm saying? It's like I love all those things and those great encounters for me. It's wonderful that we've gotten so close. It's wonderful that God brought you back to Naples and snowbirds that have flown in and now you're part of our family and every year you just keep coming back. I love it. And those are good. Church is great. Worship is great. Friends are great. But there's nothing like an encounter with Jesus. There's nothing like a one-on-one meeting with the Father where you and the Holy Spirit are alone in a room and you feel His touch on your shoulder or you feel His touch on your face and you know that He's with you and you know that He's for you and you know that life's going to be different because you just experienced God. I'm telling you, in the busyness of life, you've got to get to that place where you're so hungry for an encounter with the Holy Spirit. You're so hungry for a moment where God shows up in your life, and from that moment, there will be a deposit of joy. There'll be a Christmas spirit deposited deep in your life that no matter what goes on around you, He will not steal the joy that God has put in your heart. It's the joy of the Lord. Miss Gail, if you'd come to the keyboard, Jesus is the source of our joy. The little baby in the manger who grew up in the temple, pulling down the scrolls and reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach. We're reading Matthew right now in the soap, and I was just reading today in Matthew 6 when He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And I knew when I was preaching this morning, I knew I was preaching about the Christmas spirit. I knew I was preaching about the joy of our lives. And I'm so grateful. So grateful. Jesus has to be the center of your lives. Jesus is my hope. I think, Jen, what's your brother's name again? Jonathan. I think it was a year ago when we met in my office. It's about a year ago. When I saw him walk in today, I thought, Lord God, you're so good. You're so good. Jesus is grace. He's grace. You know, in the ministry, you have to learn to extend a lot of grace. I've had to learn to extend a lot of grace. If you're not careful, you'll get hurt. Huh? The enemy would love for me to let circumstances around me cause me to be hurt at somebody or to be hurt. But Jesus is my grace. He's my mercy. I don't think I lost it at the store yesterday, but I was kind of cranky. My grandson, I'm telling you, you know what the deal is? Let me tell you something. He's swinging on it's like the Elf movie. He's got his hands on the door going into the building, and he takes off running, grabs the door, and he's swinging on the door with his legs out going, wee-hee! I'm like, oh my goodness, Bobby, help me. Bobby said, you're just like him. I said, I ain't never swung on no door like that. You know what the deal is? That's a gift that the Lord has put in that little boy. I thought about Darlene's been going through like a real tough time. She's been praying for her family. And even this week, Derek and I was talking, and I said, man, I'm so proud of your mom, Derek. Derek's in college now. He's getting ready to graduate, almost got his degree all done. And Darlene went home to see the kids, and she went home, and Derek and her started talking about God's love. And Derek said, Mom, I need to give my life totally to God. So Derek prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart. And like when he came this week and he was here, it's just like such a different kid, the joy on his life. Just looking at him, he's praying with people in the stores. He's got the same thing she's got, like he's got it now. And when we were talking, I said, Derek, I'm so proud of your mom. Like she's so on fire for God. And Derek's response to me, and it's not a negative, because this is, he said, well, that's her personality. She's got like an addictive personality. I thought about that. And my grandson, Titus. It's like, Darlene's not following Jesus because she has an addictive personality. God put an addictive personality in her because he knew when she followed him, she'd be all in. See, some of the family says, oh yeah, that's mom's just like radical right now because that's her personality. She's just an addictive personality. And I said, no, God put an addictive personality in her because he knew when she ever got to that place that she was all in for God and she'd be all in for God. Are you all in for God? Do you wake up every day pursuing an encounter with him? Or is it all about coming to church, being a good person, going through the routines? It's got to change. Joy comes from within. It gets deposited deep inside of us, and it changes everything around us. Would you stand up on your feet with me now? That's the true spirit of Christmas. I want to challenge all the men in the room. In a couple days, we'll have the Christmas Eve service, and then on Wednesday morning, it'll be Christmas morning. And I wonder if you'll just wake up with the kids and start ripping open presents, or will you sit down with the family, read the Christmas story, and as a man, declare over your family the blessing of the Father. Will you explain the true heart of Christmas to your kids? To your grandkids? Maybe they'll have Christmas there and then they'll all come to your house. But before you start ripping open presents, would you take a minute, say, let's all sit right here and let Pop pray over you. Let me just tell you about the Christmas story. Let me tell you about the joy of Christmas. I think if we do that, this year will be different than all the others. Some of you say, well, I do that every year. Well, I pray this year, while you're doing it, you have an encounter with Jesus. And it's not a rich, it's not a tradition. It becomes something that deep inside of you that is released through that atmosphere. Amen? Amen. Slip your hands up to the Lord like this, guys, if you would, all over the house. I ask, Father, as hands are lifted, even those that are watching online right now, God, that are listening to this message, I pray there would be a deposit of joy deep into our hearts, that we would not let the cares of life dictate our destiny, but we would determine in our hearts to live with joy, to live with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody put your hands down for a second and bow your hearts humbly before the Lord. Just humbly bow your hearts before the Lord. I'm asking this morning, if you die today, before Christmas, if you were to close your eyes and not wake up in the morning, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Has Jesus become the Lord of your life? I would love to be able to stand up before this church next year and say, on Christmas 2019, that's when, put your name in there, gave their life to Jesus. That's the day, on that Christmas service, when their family said yes to God. I'd love to be able to say that about you and your family. I'm going to ask you right now, if your heart and life is not where it needs to be with Jesus, if you've been basing your whole walk with God on a religion or a religious affiliation, but you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, or maybe you're just in a backslidden state and you've been giving your life to everybody and everything but Christ, I'm going to ask you right now to join me in lifting your hands and say, that's me. I give my life, my all, my total all. I surrender it all to Jesus. Just lift your hand with me right now. Just hold it up. Come on, others, if you can do it right now. Thanks in the back. Thanks on the side. Thank you up front. Jesus. The Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ is risen from the dead, and you shall be saved. I want you to join me right now in praying a prayer, an honest prayer from the depths of your soul that has the power to change your life. Say this, Jesus Christ, everybody pray with me. Jesus Christ, you died for me, and I choose to live for you. I give you my life, every part of it. Forgive me of every sin. I choose to follow you. I will live my life to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.